Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector, sponsored by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 34 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host. We have an interesting interview today from former Boston Bruin Don Marcotte. He won a Stanley Cup. Two Stanley Cups with the Bruins, and we talk about his hockey career and TTM collecting, and hopefully you enjoy that. Welcome to the program. I apologize for the delay in releasing this episode. I've had some health concerns this past week, and I also lost my dad last Sunday, so it's been a tough week, but kind of back into the TTM world today. Started posting some of my recent successes on Instagram and on my face in the Facebook page groups. So getting a little back into TTM. I've been away from it for about a week now and just starting to recuperate health-wise. We have my dad's funeral coming up this Sunday, so I wanted to get this episode out so you can enjoy it and talk a little TTM and get some of the feeling, bad feelings, sadness off my plate and talk about something that I love in TTM. So welcome to the program. As you know, you can find this program all over the place anywhere. You can find podcasts on Spotify, on Podbean, on Google Listen, on iTunes, on Stitcher. We are on TuneIn on your Alexa device. So if you have an Alexa device, all you have to say is Alexa, play TTM podcast, and Alexa will play the most recent podcast. You can also listen to old episodes there, and we have a forum on Sports Card Forum, so we're all over the place. If you need to find us, I am on Instagram at TTMcast, and I am on Twitter at CastTTM. Also, if you want to send any feedback about this episode, or if you're interested in being a guest on a future episode, just send me an email at TTMcast at yahoo.com. So with that, we'll get right into Baker's Dozen and talk about our Vern Rapp Minute and some returns, and then back into our interview. So now for our Baker's Dozen segment. Baker's Dozen is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in the TTM hobby and collectible hobby. As I said, I've kind of been removed for the last week or so. So I just want to let everyone know our next show will be on around Sunday, December 22nd, right before the holiday. Hopefully you guys are out there getting your holiday gifts for your collectors and for your loved ones. I welcome on new listeners to the program. We've been getting a lot of new listeners to the program. As I said, this show is dedicated to my dad, who passed away this past Sunday, and I had been in the hospital for about a week with some health issues, so we're getting back into things. So not a lot in terms of piquing my interest in terms of stories regarding collectibles. I think we're kind of wrapping up the year. I haven't sent out any TTM requests in the last week or so, and I don't envision sending out any until after the new year. I don't think people are really interested in following up their TTM requests now, so I will get back into it after the holiday season, and hopefully you guys are having some success. Now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Miss Vern Rapp, who had passed away, and I didn't realize when I had sent out a TTM request to him, so I do this as a service to my fellow TTMers, and hopefully you won't have the same faux pas I had sending out a request to somebody who had passed away. So it was pretty, in terms of people who passed away, not a lot of people in the sports realm who passed away this past couple weeks. I did see that Pete Frates, who was a baseball player for Boston College, and was person that started the Ice Bucket Challenge for ALS. Had ALS. He passed away, and he's up here in the Boston area, and we lost him the other day. A couple of people in the entertainment world passed away recently. Philip McKean, who was played Tommy on Alice back in the 70s, and was Nancy McKeon's brother, who was on Facts of Life, passed away. He was 55. He had an illness. Ron Liebman, who you might not know the name, but he actually played Rachel's father on Friends. He passed away the other day. And we lost someone that was dear to all of us, I'm sure. Mr. Carol Spinney, who played Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street, recently passed away. So that's the only people that we lost this last couple of weeks. But I just wanted to pass that along. Condolences go out to their family, and we're sorry for your loss. And now on to returns. I had a bunch of couple of returns the past 2 weeks. I just actually opened a bunch of them yesterday. I had been in the hospital for about a week, so I'm just kind of getting caught up on returns. I haven't been sending out a lot recently, but I have been getting some of my older TTM requests back. So happy. I got a nice 2007-2008 Topps card from signed by Vince Carter. He signed his name and number. It's a really a pretty card. Overhead shot of him shooting a basket. It looks like against the Los Angeles Lakers. And when he was on the New Jersey Nets. And a nice addition to my collection. That one took about, I don't know, maybe 2 months. Month and a half, 2 months. I got Mark Price, who was a guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers back in the early 90s on a 1991 Fleer. And that one took probably about 2 months as well. I got some baseball returns. I got three additions to my 1978 Topps set that I've been collecting. I got Dave Cash, who played second base for the Montreal Expos and the Phillies and the Pirates back in the 70s. This is on a 78 Topps card, and really nice signature, and it took about a year, but Mr. Cash signed it and got that back. I got a nice return from, I wasn't expecting this, from Felix Millian, who played for the Braves and the Mets back in the, he played for the Braves in the 60s and the Mets in the 70s, and this is on his 1978 card. I think this might actually be his last card. Nice picture of him at second base during spring training against the Pirates, and he signed it in pen. But I needed it for my 1978 set, and I had heard that he was I had read that he was signing with donations. I did not send a donation, but he signed it for me, so I appreciate it. Thank you. That took about, I don't know, maybe about 3 weeks. And I got Jose Cruz, who played for the Cardinals back in the 70s and Houston Astros. He played outfield, and I got him on a 78 card, and this is the third time I'd sent to him. I'd seen he had been signing, but I had not received a return, and then I finally got a return, so I'm not sure which one of the cards that I sent out, but I sent one out probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and got it back the other day. So it might be this one, or it might have been an old one that I sent back a couple months ago, but I did get a return from Jose Cruz for my 78 set. A couple of the baseball cards that I got back. I got the Louisiana Lightning, Ron Guidry, on a 1986 Fleer card. I had sent him two cards. I'd sent him a 79 Topps and an 86 Fleer, but he signed the 86 Fleer, did not sign the 79 Topps card, but it's all right. I got it back in a couple of weeks, so I see people are not getting him back at all. So very happy to get that back. And then this is a shocker. I got two cards returned from former Boston Red Sox All-Star second baseman Marty Barrett. I was a big fan of his back in the day. I sent this request to him out like 2 years ago, and this was a shocker. I actually got this back yesterday, and I got it on a 1991 Topps, and he also sent 1988 Topps for me, so thrilled to get those back. And lastly, for returns, I got two returns for my 1992 game day set. I've been collecting that. I'm almost at 200 for returns. And I got Azelle Jenkins from the Philadelphia Phillies. He signed his name and his number and personalized it for me. And I got Kevin Call, who played for the Indianapolis Colts. I got him on the 92 set. He was a tackle. For the 92 game day set, so I'm actually almost at 200 for my game day set. So pretty good returns in terms of the 92 returns were a couple weeks, but as I said, I haven't really been sending out a lot lately in the last couple weeks, so it's nice to get returns. I'm still getting one or two a day. Some of my older ones are coming in, so hopefully you're starting to see returns. And as I said, I'm gonna kind of cool it for the next couple of weeks until after the new year, and start getting back up and let people enjoy the holidays. So returns are very happy with the returns, and hopefully you're seeing some good returns as well. And now for our interview. I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Don Marcotte at the Shriners Auditorium card show that went to recently, and he was very cordial, and we talked for a little while, and he agreed to be on the program. So I called him up I think about a week and a half ago, and we had a great interview, and we talked about Boston Bruins back in the 70s and hockey in general, and talk about some of his old teammates, and talk about getting requests and collecting stuff. So hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline is two-time Stanley Cup winner, Mr. Don Marcotte. Welcome to the program, Mr. Marcotte.
Thank you very much. Nice to be on.
Well, you know what? I always love to introduce people who have reached the pinnacle of their sport or reached the pinnacle of their profession. And you had an early success in your career, winning the Stanley Cup two times in the first 3 years. That must have been something as a youngster coming up.
If you play hockey, that's the first thing you want to do is you want to win the cup. And I was lucky enough to do it on the first year that I was up with the Bruins to stay, so, which was a dream come true right away. And then figure out at the first one, we should be able to get a whole bunch of them. But you can't depend on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's evident that those teams were great, and you guys really stuck together through the years. It was kind of a bonding thing of winning the cup together, and you guys were all kind of stayed as a team even 30 or 40 years after your career was over.
We got along so well. It was just like a one big family. And even like right now, if I see somebody that I haven't seen for maybe 20 years, it's just like we were just together the day before. It was just it's just great memories to go back together, and we have a good time.
Now, you played your entire career with the Bruins. You had a couple shots at winning cups, into the 70s, that 74 team when you lost to the Flyers. That one really killed me personally. That one hurt.
Yeah, that's we don't really know what happened there. We had a lot of injuries. Bobby always playing, was really playing on one leg, and just he could barely move out there. But which he was a big part of the team. But it was just one of those things that we just couldn't get a goal. Bernie Parent played unbelievable against us, and lose the final game 1-0. That's really.
Did you play with Bernie in the minors?
I played with Bernie in junior.
Yeah.
In Niagara Falls for the 1 year.
So it must have been kind of sweet for him to come back and be his former team like that.
Yeah, well, you always want to do really good against a team that let you go, so he did. He played really well against us, and that's what beat us, really. That's, we should have won that series. But
I know you should have.
And just like the 78 with Montreal, we should have won that 79. So.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I lived and died with the Bruins, and I was 10 years old when you guys lost to the Flyers. And I saw a thing, somebody asked Tom Brady the other day if he was over the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles, and he said, over it. I'll never be over it. Is that kind of
get over it?
Yeah, kind of the lost championship, I guess. I don't know. And against the Canadians, the other one against the Canadians, that one hurt as well. But
a couple of bad calls and a couple of mistakes, and that's the way it goes.
Now, you were kind of unique in terms of your playing career. You played your entire season with the Bruins. Was there any point where you were considering either moving on when your contract ran out, or were you involved in a trade to play?
Well, I'm going for the older days that you didn't have a choice.
Okay.
I came up, well, I was lucky enough to play. I played one game in the original six in 1965 when I was only 16. I came up from junior, played one game. So it's really, I'm proud of that.
Yeah, as a 16-year-old, you had one game. That's
I was 18.
Okay.
I turned 18. I came up. We had to be 18 years old to come up to start
okay.
with. But there was only 16, so.
Who did you play against? Do you remember?
Play against Montreal in Montreal.
Oh, wow.
Which was great because my whole family was there. So.
Did you get any shots on goal?
Yeah, I could have had a goal if the guy I played with would have made a pass along the ice. I would have had it, but he shot about shoulder high, so I couldn't even touch it. It wouldn't have been legal. But against us, Montreal beat us, 7-2, I think, and I wasn't on the ice for any goal against, so that was a plus right there.
That's right. Now, Darren, I look back at some of my old programs and yearbooks, and every one of them said that you were the hardest checker in the NHL and the cleanest checker in the NHL. That was kind of your calling card, no?
Yeah, I was a good check. I was when I came up, I was like I was the said I was a big guy, which really there was a lot of small players in those years, but I wasn't that big. But I could handle myself pretty well with taking bodies, and I learned how to check pretty early. Play against an older brother, you kind of learn how to protect yourself and how to take somebody out. Fighting-wise, it wasn't my best point, but taking the body, I could do it very well.
Well, I know, you played 14 or 15 years, if you want to throw in the 65 series season, I'm sorry. And, I mean, you only compiled 317 penalty minutes, which is not a lot for someone that who's defensive and checking was your forte. Would you agree?
Right. But also, they call me a checker, which I call myself a two-way player. I could score goals, and I could come back and help the defense. And if you talk to any of the defense I played with, they always want me on the ice with them because I would be back and help.
Yeah, I mean, you were a pretty good goal scorer in your time, too, because you had, seven or eight seasons with over 20 goals, which is impressive, a feat in itself.
Well, especially for you, Kurt, who I'm playing against every game, I'm playing against the top line all the time. So,
and you didn't play much on the power play, right?
That was the last 10, 15 seconds, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
it wasn't my job. And just they told me if you're playing defensive hockey, you kill penalties, and power play will go to the other guys. So.
You played a lot on the short hand.
Everybody happy.
You played shorthanded a lot, right? You were on the...
Yes, I did. I killed most of the penalties myself. When I first came up with myself, Sanderson and Westfall were the three of us that killed all the penalties. And
Now, I know you played in a couple of different eras in terms of Bruins. You know, you were there with Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito, and those guys. And then after they kind of left and some of the WJ guys left, you were still playing into the late 70s and early 80s. So you kind of played in two eras of the Bruins. They were different teams, no?
Yeah, we went from a very powerful, offensive-minded team in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, with Despo and those guys. And then by the end of the 70, we were a very strong defensive team. Didn't score too many goals, but we kept winning tight games. So it was kind of a different change of play. So it was more like... cover up everybody, don't let anybody score, and then we'll get the break sometime.
We're speaking with Don Marcotte, who was a lifetime Boston Bruin, and I can say that because he worked with the Bruins after his time playing, and he was a two-time Stanley Cup champion. Was there any one team or goalie or somebody that you kind of had their mark and said, oh, I do really great against this guy, or I know how to sneak a couple by this goalie? Is this a favorite team you had playing against in your
playing? Not really. I didn't really focus that much on different team. Like I said, my job was mostly to play against the top players on the other team to stop them from scoring goals. So. If you have a chance to do something, then I like to play in Detroit, which was had the biggest, like a bigger ice surface over there, which was fun.
Okay. I was going to ask you just the opposite. I thought maybe because the Garden's dimensions were smaller than most of the other rinks that was more conducive to your game.
Not really, no. Just with the ice surface smaller, the other team coming in had a tough time. But for us, we just still didn't have that extra room to make the plays and like we did on the bigger ice surface. So it's always easier to make plays on bigger ice surface. You get a little more room to move around.
Sure. Now, do you played all your games in the old Boston Garden? Is that correct?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Okay. I know there is a video on YouTube, I believe you and Steve Vickers going at it, and you said you weren't much of a fighter. Was that your kind of your best fight, and that's why it's online, or it's just?
I've had some better fights than that. But that was a two part. They showed the second part of it, so which really you don't get hurt in a fight anyway, so it's no big deal. It's you get one lucky punch, and that's all it takes to look like you get beaten up. But
now the thing that always interests me is aberrations in terms of things that happen in somebody's career. And I checked, and I saw you had four games that you actually scored hat tricks, including one that was right the day after Christmas. Are those pretty vivid in your mind?
Really, I didn't pay much attention about and it's always nice to get, but it's not something that I was supposed to be doing out there. So
yeah.
But scoring goals, let's look at my minor league record and when I played 2.5 years in Hershey. I scored 31 and 35 goals in my last year before I came up. I had 28 goals in 35 games. So.
Yeah, I
couldn't score goals. You put me on a power play.
You just had to get
I knew where the net was. It's just that don't get as many chances.
And Tom Duff and all those guys to recognize that.
Yeah.
So you were playing with some very, really talented offensive players in your day.
So. That's right. So you can't really go out there and complain that, hey, I should be on the power play because those guys are not doing their job. They were doing their job. So, and everybody in those days had a job to do. And if you did it right, you were going to win games.
In my mind, I was born in 1965, so I really started following the Bruins, in 72 when you got the year that you guys won the Cup. And in my mind, you were always there. You were always prevalent. You were always one of my favorite players. You played a long time in terms of a lot of games. You didn't have many injuries in your playing days once you came up to the big club.
Not too bad. No, I had back surgery in 71, which was just kept me. Trying to be careful about what I was doing, and then in 78 I blew up my knee. So
okay, is that why you went and played in the Braves in 71 for a few games just for condition?
Yeah, to get back in game condition.
And I mean, I was, when I was a kid, it was really hard to get Bruins tickets. And we used to go to the Braves and the Boston, the New England Whalers game. So the Braves were a pretty good club during that time. You guys had a lot of, you know, they were a good feeder system for the Bruins, I think.
Yeah, they were. They did a really good job getting the players there from different teams that they had. They had used to have a team down in Oklahoma City that they brought all the players back up to Boston, and this one that and from Hershey also that had an agreement with them for some players, so they brought those to play with the Braves. So that can
now,
and they gave them a pretty good hand.
Now, in terms of mementos from your playing day, do you still have any sweaters or pucks, you know, game pucks or anything like that?
Yeah, I still have a sweater. In those days, we get a sweater when the first got to give us a jersey. Otherwise, that was the only time in those days that you could get anything. But, no, there was times were tight. You know, the teams were not making any money, according to them.
Yeah.
But no, I have jersey, I have pucks, I have the small trophies from the Stanley Cup. Have two Stanley Cups and then the three Prince of Wales.
Now, there's always, you know, there's always talks about people get to spend a day with a cup after they won it. Did you have that? That you got to have a cup for a day?
In those days, we had the cup in town for 1 week.
Okay.
Players, and we just had a few different little parties, like on the place that took care of all the players, like restaurant and stuff. So we had to get together there with the cup. But the only guy in charge of the cup was John Busick, really.
Now, did you get to carry the cup around the ice after the win, in the Garden and in New York?
No.
Nope.
The captain went around with the cup, and then we just followed him back to the dressing room.
Okay. Because nowadays they kind of pass it around, right?
Maybe they all pass it around to take a big pictures on the ice with the cup and stuff.
Yeah, and
times have changed, and every player gets the cup for what, 3 or 4 days or whatever. So
yeah, that's what I thought. I was hoping for some kind of funny story or interesting thing. Oh, we took the cup to Route One, and
no, we never had it.
It's a different time now. The parade or party that they had at City Hall after you guys won, you know, specifically in 70, must have been something with all those people out there.
Yeah. In 70, with the trophy, I figure myself, John Adam, which was a third goalie they brought up, and Billy Spear was saying, well, just sitting there, I said, the three of us be nice and quiet and just enjoy the ride. And then some kid named Bobby Orr jumped in the car with us. And all we did was throw people out the car, just fight the whole way through. Just crazy.
So that must have been something you'll never forget.
Yeah, you never forget that. That was quite
interesting. Now, how about in terms of trading cards or any collectible memorabilia? When you were playing, did they send you cards for you to give away to your family and friends? Or do you have any cards from when you played?
No, they never give us anything. No, the bubblegum card that we used to call.
Yeah.
I guess the teams had contracts with the companies, so we just they took our pictures and that was it. I get a lot of stuff in the mail now that I just sign and send back. As long as there's a return envelope and stamp on it, there's no problem doing it.
How many requests do you think you get a week?
I might get 3 or 4 or 5 different envelope with 3, 4, or 5 cards in it, and just sign them, and it's no big deal.
Well, is it mostly cards you're getting, or do people send you pictures, or
anything that they want, as long as, as long as there's a return envelope with stamp on it, there's no problem.
Now, were you a collector when you were a kid, or while you were playing, did you collect anything?
I think I did, maybe when I was a little kid back home.
Okay.
But after that, no.
So you didn't try to collect any autographs from players that you played with or against or got jerseys from other players or any of that kind of stuff?
No.
Okay. Now,
in those days, they would have been laughing at you.
Now, you personally in those teams from the early 70s, those guys are all really receptive to signing. They're open to meeting the fans, and I always see you guys are always out locally in the Boston area at trade card shows or at different events. Is that something that was just ingrained in you, or is that something that you kind of that came natural to you?
I think it's something that, when we played, we always talked about, being nice, respect people, being nice to them. If they ask you for an autograph, just sign it and just to keep everybody happy. And it's no big deal. It's not much time to do it anyway. So and people remember it. So that was part of being part of the Bruins, really, that you just do whatever the fan asks you to do as long as it's reasonable.
Now, you guys, the Bruins as an organization, have a real strong alumni team. Guys play scheduled games, and they're earning money for different charities. I actually went to the alumni event that was at Bentley University. It was against the Rangers a couple weeks ago, and it was fantastic. And is that something that came from Johnny Busick and came down and building a strong alumni association?
Yeah, I think John Busick is the one that really started everything going, like the alumni games and stuff. They used to play games earlier, but once John retired, he kind of took it over and ran a lot more games and got more guys involved in playing. And we always had a good time doing it.
I know that the other teams in town have something kind of similar, but not as strong and not as vibrant, I think, as the Bruins. And you guys should be proud of that as an organization and as a team. I think you guys do a great job.
We try anyway.
Yeah. Now, after your career, you stayed on with the Bruins and McPhee, kind of as working with the restaurant or the club.
That was not part with the Bruins. I worked for different people that.
Okay.
I managed a private club in the building, but we just leased a room there from the Bruins, so
got
it
you.
Didn't belong to them. So I didn't ever work for the Bruins after I retired.
Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Well, a lot of people think I did because I was working in the building, but like I said, it was different people. We just leased a room in there.
Well, it kept you close to the game, right? And
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that was good. One good thing about it is that I could go and watch all the games I wanted because I was working.
Yeah. Now, just in terms of cards, I know you get a lot of cards in the mail. Do you have a favorite card to sign or a favorite card of yours that you're like, oh, I really like this card?
No, not really. I like them all.
Okay. Now, just out of curiosity, sake as a collector, when most of the hockey shots are you standing behind a black, a wall of whatever color holding your stick. Do they just come in and just say next, take a picture, or?
They used to come in the first day of training camp.
Okay.
Which sometimes was not a good deal. Because all the guys get together the day before, and just coming in and go have a couple of sodas and. But not the first 3 or 4 years, it was just done off the ice, right at in the practice building.
Now, can you look at the picture? Yeah, I remember.
Then later on, they took action shots. So.
Now, can you look at some of these old pictures and say, oh, I remember what we did the next morning. They took that picture.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a couple that, why? But, hey, that's the way it was.
That's funny. Well, I appreciate your time today, Mr. Marquardt. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you'd want to mention? Do you have anything you'd like to promote? Do you have a planning of writing a book or anything like that?
No. That's about all we can talk about right now. No, I'm not a big storyteller or whatever. It's just...
Well, I think you did great. Again, I appreciate your time coming and talking about some of the glory days of the Boston Bruins, your career, and some of the collectibles. And we appreciate it as a hobby that you signed through the mail and keep the fans interested. It was, as I said, you were always in my mind there as a Bruin when I was growing up. So I was a big fan of the Bruins and big fan of you on the ice. And it was nice to meet you a couple weeks ago at the Wilmington Card Show.
Right.
And I thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. I'd like to thank Mr. Don Marcott for joining us today. It was a thrill to speak with him. He was one of my heroes growing up. As I said at the beginning, I dedicated this program to my dad, who passed away a lot this past weekend, and we will miss you. He was a guest on my program for during Father's Day. So if you want to hear some talking with my dad about collecting and how he got me involved in collecting, it's a interview that I will not cherish. Unfortunately, he is the first person that I had interviewed for the show that had passed away, but it is now, we have the interview for posterity. So again, I want to dedicate this program to my dad. I want to thank you, the listeners, for hanging in there. And as always, wishing you many happy returns.